Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network, and this is the Green Lines Podcast. Every one of these podcasts is produced to help you live an abundant life. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." I want that, don't you? The Lord has led us to produce over 1,100 episodes of this show with interviews from authors, pastors, teachers, business owners, and even noted musicians and worship leaders. All of this is done with a prayer and belief that we're not to live a life of scarcity. Let me say that again. We are not to live a life of scarcity. We're to live a life of abundance every day of our life. Live in abundance. That's what this show's about. And today's episode features a guest who offers a new perspective on abundant living. Well, this is a show sort of like that Masters line you hear all the time for the Masters Golf Tournament, tournament like no other. This is a show like no other. I've already done the interview with Tony Myers. Incidentally, he's the founder of Outside the Four Walls. He was healed from ALS, and you may know the ALS letters. I'm not going to spell them out for you, but he was healed from what is commonly called Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a debilitating disease, very painful, and leads, there's just no known cure. It's very horrible. He's written 5 books about healing, and he just wants people to know his testimony. And he tells his testimony, and then he hangs around and prays with people. And I'm just going to tell you that you're going to hear a testimony from a guy that was a complete, total atheist, hated Christians in a Paul kind of way. You know, he didn't want anything to do with them, didn't want to hear them, didn't want to be near them, didn't want a Bible around him. He knew about it. He didn't want anything to do with it. And his life changed. And with that change came a loving Jesus that healed him from Lou Gehrig's disease. Here's his story, told by the man with blue hair. So if you've ever had a doubt about the healing power of the Lord Jesus, this podcast is for you. I'm so honored to have with me Tony Myers. He's become a friend of mine. I love him. And you know, it's not easy to, you know, just immediately love somebody that's got blue hair, you know, although it's pretty easy to love Tony no matter what color his hair is. So I'm going to try to find out with that, but I want you to hold on. We'll get to it. I just want you to meet Tony Myers. He's here with us on the show today, and I'm so excited to welcome you alive, well, and kicking. Tony Myers, welcome to Green Lines.
Thank you, Dr. Green, and yes, I am alive.
That's right, and I want everybody to know that you're listening to someone who's near about dead from ALS. That's Lou Gehrig's disease. I've seen 2 friends die from it. It wasn't pretty. It was horrible. Every minute of their end of life was horrible. The families hurt. They watched it. They were part of it. And everyone stood around helpless. Tony, you were right there. How helpless was it?
Extremely helpless. I could do nothing. And talk about being just a shell.
Right.
Now, my thoughts were there. I was aware. I was mentally, well, as mentally sane as I've ever been, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
but I was mentally aware.
Sure.
But I was just a shell of a person. And those years were just really me wanting to die.
How long did you suffer with ALS?
It was a total of 6 years from start to finish.
Right, from diagnosis to healing.
Well, actually, the diagnosis, as it does with most cases of ALS, happened closer to my healing.
Oh, it did.
I went approximately 4 years without diagnosis.
Nobody knew you had ALS.
Well, they didn't know what it, well, it took till 2009 for me to go to a doctor because I was very stubborn.
No.
And it I used to, back in my atheist days, when I got stabbed or whatever, I sewed myself up.
Yeah, I believe it.
That's the type I was. I avoided doctors at all costs. It wasn't until 2009 when I almost dropped a piece of steel. I was a welder. I almost dropped a piece of steel on my partner's head.
Oh.
I was holding it while he was tacking it. All of the sudden, all the strength just left my arms.
Yeah.
And he was underneath it. And that's when I woke up, went to the doctor. That was around May 2009.
Well, so you had a long journey. And for any of you who are listening who know someone with ALS, you know what we're speaking about. You know how difficult it is, how painful it is, and how helpless everyone in the house is that has to deal with it. All those who want to reach out and help you. And I know you were very suicidal near the end, weren't you?
Yes, I was. That was the only thing I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Most of the time through this, it was, how do I kill myself?
Right. Because you couldn't get anybody to help you.
Right. My wife sure wasn't going to help me.
No, that would be murder. Well, let's talk about your being an atheist. At what point, I mean, throughout this time, most of this time, you were an atheist.
Yes.
Not agnostic, pure atheist.
Pure atheist. Now, when I met my wife, she was the only Christian woman that I had contact with. I would not hang around Christians. If you told me you was a Christian, we were going to blows most of the time.
You're going to chase me with a blowtorch, right?
Christians tended not to hang around me for long. I hated Christians. I hated, and let me say this, and I think this holds true for a lot of atheists, and I can't speak for them all, of course, but with myself, looking back, I would tell you this. It wasn't God himself or Jesus himself I hated. I hated the way he was presented to me.
Yeah. People got in the way, didn't they?
Yes. Well, at a very young age, I did actually love Jesus at one point. Now, my parents were Roman Catholic. So I was brought up with the view that God was in heaven. He had a lightning bolt in his right hand. He had a thunderbolt in his left hand. And he didn't care which one he struck you with. He was going to strike you down. But I saw Jesus when I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
And my view of him was so clouded that I thought Jesus was angry at me. I did not see him as being loving. I saw him as being hateful.
Well, that happens. And it happens in every religion when people come out of religion, when it's used as a stick against them when they're young, this can happen to them. But, you know, I want to talk about your conversion because we don't want to wallow in the mud here. Let's get right out to your bedside. At what point was the gospel presented to you in such a way that you cried out to Jesus?
Well, my wife, I moved to Virginia in 2008. I knew she was a Christian. She didn't really know where I stood. She had tried to talk to me about Jesus and God, and I said, well, me and him come to agreement. He don't talk about me, and I ain't talking about him.
Okay.
And then I told her, I said, you know, you go to church, you do whatever. You know, but I don't want to see no Bibles. You read your Bible, you do what you want. I don't want to see it. As long as we don't see it, I'm good. Don't ask me to go to church with you. Okay. And so, but every time I was with her, without me verbally admitting, I saw love in her I'd never seen in anyone else. One time, she told me, there was a person begging for money. I'll never forget this. It was in Knoxville, Tennessee. We were at McDonald's. And my wife said, here, go hand him this 10. I'm like, wait a minute. He's got more money. Because when I was young, on my own, that's one of the things I used to do. And I'm like, he's got more money than you've earned in your life. She's like, you go hand that to him. With such love, I went and did it.
Yeah.
But so my wife was the first one that really presented the Jesus that loves to me. Then from there, in 2009, she got me to go to a church.
Oh, my.
Which we still have a discussion who mentioned it, because I told her, don't even mention me going to church. But one of us did. I think I brought it up. She was smoothing off my rough edges.
Good.
Just by the way she was presenting Christ, the way Christ was working through her.
It's amazing.
To me, was affecting me without particularly my knowledge. So one day, one of us said, okay, let's go to church. And I told her, I said, now at this time I was in the walker stage. I was using a walker. It would take me about 5 minutes because my legs were already useless. All I was using was pure upper body strength to even be able to move.
Okay.
And we went to his church. I told my wife, I said, if somebody looks at me crosswords, I'm going to hit them and walk out. And so,
with my walker.
Yeah, I'm going to hit them. Hey, I don't know how, but somehow.
You were going to be mad.
And I'm like, I'm wearing what I'm wearing. I ain't getting no suit on. If these people don't accept me the way I am, I don't want nothing to do with them.
Okay.
We walked in there. The first fella I saw had a bandana on. Me being a welder, I always wore a bandana.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this might be all right.
Yeah. Nothing like now, a bandana to give you peace.
So with me, it was still, we went approximately 12 times from 2009 till I was healed 2012. Because how hard it was for me to attend, for one. Second, I did not particularly care for the young man that was the pastor.
Yeah.
Third, I was in a whole bunch of pain all the time, and I wasn't really hearing anything.
Yeah.
So my conversion, the first time, to my knowledge, that I actually did accept Christ, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, I stayed in the living room because my wheelchair would not fit into the bedroom.
Right.
And I stayed in the wheelchair by then, 24/7. My wife had left the TV on. There was a preacher who I don't know who it was to this day. And this would have been December 2010 to January 2011, sometime in between there.
All right.
And I heard him just say, Jesus is calling for you. He wants you. And just all of a sudden, I just broke down and said, Jesus, dude, you do whatever you need to do. And I broke down crying and everything else. And that was the point that I accepted Jesus the best I could at that time. Now, this whole time, I didn't own a Bible.
Right.
And so I really didn't change at that moment. I was baptized in 2011. What happened that time was something in me just said, get baptized.
That was
I
good.
Didn't even have a clue. And so afterwards, in the wheelchair, we went up and I told the pastor, I said, you know, I want to be baptized. I don't know nothing about what a baptism is. I just want to be baptized. And my wife looked at me and said, well, you know, you have to accept Christ first. And I'm like, I think I did. And then I told her about that one day, that one night. And so then it was 3 weeks later, took four guys to carry me up 14 steps of the, to the baptismal. I was in the wheelchair. They actually transferred me from the wheelchair to another wheelchair that was a light wheelchair. That was a sports wheelchair. And they turned around, carried me up, set me in the baptismal. They let go. The wheelchair went backwards. They had to run to catch me.
You had a quick baptism.
So I almost got baptized twice. Now, that time, I actually felt tingling and just the Holy Spirit, who I didn't even know who the Holy Spirit was.
Right.
But I felt all this raging through my body. And then that was over. And then it was like 2 days later that they actually, the diagnosis of Lou Gehrig's happened.
All right. So let's, because we're going to run out of time before we get to the end of the story. And I don't want to leave people hanging. This isn't a two-parter. You know, we got to get here. I got to get you well. So how long before you're healing? From the time you were water baptized until you were healed?
It was a little over a year.
All right. Tell me about the day. The time, yeah, I know it was gradual.
Actually, it wasn't so gradual.
It was quicker than you wrote about? Because you acted in your book like it took a little while.
Well, then I misrepresented it.
I got to read it better, maybe. How about that?
So, it was July 4, 2012 when I was healed.
Okay.
The time was 1:45 p.m. All day long, I was thinking the same thing. I've been trying to figure out how to kill myself. Two weeks prior to that, I had tried running my wheelchair in our four lane, which was a highway. No one would hit me.
That would have been effective.
So that was one time my wife had gone off. Then, so that day I woke up, still trying to figure out how to kill myself when you can't move nothing.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard. And my stomach was paralyzed and I couldn't swallow and I couldn't talk. So good luck with trying to kill yourself, right?
Right.
Then it was 1:45. I looked at the clock and all of a sudden the thought went through, Jesus suffered far worse that one day than I've suffered this whole time.
Good.
I started thinking about the whipping post.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, I don't remember ever hearing details, and I sure hadn't read it. And so I'm sitting there trying to imagine it, and then all of a sudden, it was like a hologram. It was an open vision, which I didn't know that terminology before until afterwards. But it was a hologram. It was as if I was there. I saw the Roman centurion taking the cat of nine tails and whipping Jesus. And it was very graphic. It was as if I was standing right in front of Jesus.
Amazing.
Every time. And there was a fury. I'll call it a demonic fury. Every time that Roman soldier slash that whip, it would wrap around his front, ripping the flesh off of his front first. I'm standing in front of him looking at this. There is blood and just raw meat flying off of him. There's a puddle of blood at his feet. You could see his ribs.
Yep.
And I'm just sitting there and watching this. It was so horrific. And I've been a soldier. I served for 10 years. And I had never seen anything like this. Then the scene switched to Jesus being on the cross. He didn't look human at all, except his eyes. My gaze fell on his gaze, We locked eyes. And all of a sudden, I felt a peace just overcome me I never felt before. I had a lot of mental issues, severe PTSD, a whole bunch of other stuff. I didn't know what peace felt like until that moment.
Yeah.
The best way I can describe it is liquid gold.
Mm-hmm.
I just, everything just, and then I started saying, Jesus loves me. I said three times, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. And one thing was, I did have the thought that this back pain would just go away. Because until each specific muscle dies, you do feel pain. And then as the muscle's dying, it's extremely painful as each muscle's dying. I still felt back pain. I was in the wheelchair 24 hours a day. So I thought, well, maybe I can live it just as back pain eases off. And I said, back pain, be gone. Three times. And then Jesus' name three times. Yeah. I'm not knowing why I'm saying this. I'm not even thinking about it.
Okay.
All of a sudden, the back pain's gone. And I did like a double take. Then I just immediately went two fingers moved. My fingers were in a loose fist, but I couldn't move them at all. And I just said, fingers move. And when you couldn't understand what I was saying. It was more of thinking than saying. It was fingers move. I said that three times. And my fingers started to move. That's when I went to the hallway and showed my wife. I was moving my fingers. Now, my arms still wasn't moving. My forearms were still on the arms rests, but my fingers were moving. Then I told her, well, I'll be back walking. I take the wheelchair back to my little spot in the corner. And then all I said that time was legs move. My legs hit the floor at the same time. And then I said, Jesus, don't let me fall. And I stood up and started walking to the bedroom. My wife says I looked like Frankenstein. But I was walking. And then when I got to the bedroom, it was like everything started clearing up. My arms started moving. My speech cleared up at one point. I was lifting my arms over my head. And we were both like in shock.
Yes.
So then from that moment on, things just started coming to life. It was about 2 hours later, I ate my first meal at Cracker Barrel, which should have killed me because I had no feeding tube. I had no intravenous feeding. And
well, that's what you were after anyway, trying to kill yourself. You found an answer.
And the next day when the home health care nurse came, she said, that proves it was God right there because the first bite of food should have killed you.
Yeah, because you couldn't swallow.
And so couldn't swallow, and my stomach was paralyzed.
Yeah. So tell me, that was the day of your healing. That's the day that you were healed, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and then you got better from then out.
Oh, yeah. A friend, we went to the church that I'd attended those times, was having a worship service for July 4th. We went there. That's when I gave my testimony for the first time. It went from being like 10 people, all of a sudden them 10 people got on the phone, started calling people up, and there was like 1,000 people that showed up. Wow. They had me give my testimony. But right before then is when the business manager, Yvonne, her and her husband, well, she asked, can you eat? And I'm like, I guess so. And I said, well, I don't know. There's like this burning sensation in my stomach. My wife and her looked at me and said, you're hungry. Oh, is that what it's like?
So you're
everything. Everything was a learning process all over again.
True.
But her husband made the statement. He was walking behind me on her way into the Cracker Barrel. And he said, it really seemed like every time you took a step, you got stronger and stronger and stronger. Within 2 days, I was on the side of the church's hill, weed eating. Within 4 days, I was running with two of my dogs 4 miles a day.
My goodness.
So talk about supernatural. That's pretty supernatural there.
Well, we're running out of time, Tony, so I don't want to miss a couple of the things that you're up to now. I can't miss the blue hair story. So along the way, you went to a hairstylist, and she actually gave you the chemicals to turn your hair blue, right? And that's how it started. You tell the story. What am I doing trying to tell it? So tell me how your hair got all blue like it is today.
So this was 3 days prior to me publishing Unlocking the Mystery of Divine Healing, my second book.
Right. You've got five now, right?
Right. And I had this same dream those 3 days in a row. And it was, I was speaking, talking about healing. And then all of a sudden, after the meeting, this man walked up to me and said, wear the color of your healing. Now, to me, the color of healing was blue.
Yeah.
So I understood that right away. So I had this same dream those 3 nights in a row. I'm dismissing it. Didn't even tell my wife. I'm just thinking it's just me dreaming it up for whatever reason. I've got tattoos that are blue. I wear blue all the time. So I didn't think nothing of it. Then I went to the one that cut my hair. She started cutting it after my healing. So she knew my testimony and all, because I always give my testimony. People need to hear.
They do.
Because healing is for everyone. So I'm going to absolutely share it with people. So she knew about it. Well, I sat down in the chair. First words out of her mouth was, hi, Tony, you need to wear the color of your healing.
Oh, my.
And I looked at her and I said, what did you just say? Her eyes got huge. And she's like, Tony, I don't know why I said, wear the color of your healing. She turned the chair around. One of her stylists had blue hair.
Okay.
I had that feeling that, like, when you know that you know that you know, and something just hits your heart just right.
Yeah, somebody hit you right in the head is what they did. Got you convinced to turn your hair color.
It was that moment that I knew. And I told her that. And she's like, I'll do it right now. I'm like, no. Not right now, because I haven't even told my wife about the dreams, much less anything else.
Yeah.
If I were to walk in the house with blue hair and a blue beard and a blue mustache, that there'd be a frying pan upside my head. So I went home, told my wife, and she's like, if you feel it's God, do it. And then it was the next day. It went blue.
So I got to kind of interrupt this story, as fascinating as it is, and say, how did your wife respond to your healing? What did she see before her eyes that was just unfathomable? She couldn't even believe it, I would imagine.
I think for about a good week, we were in shock, in a celebratory shock, but in a shock processing what had happened, both of us. Yeah.
Not waiting for it to come back, just
right,
just happy and thrilled that you were healed.
Right. The first time I let the dogs out, I couldn't believe where the doorknob was. I couldn't find the doorknob for a half second.
Yeah.
Everything was brand new.
Yes. Isn't that great?
It was. It's a moment I will always relish and remember.
Yes, sir. Well, okay, so people have to hang out with you and your blue hair now. And they see that. I mean, I've worked with you. I've seen you in meetings. And it's just commonplace. You probably most of the day you forget your hair is blue. You know, you have to, what are y'all looking at? And then you have to remember that your hair is blue. But now you know that it is the color of healing, and you're glorifying God every moment that you walk out of the house with your blue hair.
Exactly. I will walk out of the house. Somebody, one time I had this fella stop his truck in the middle of the street, a busy street in Middlesboro. And says, "I love that blue hair. You must be a Kentucky fan." Uh-oh. And I'm like, "No." Now he's blocking traffic. But I'm like, "I was healed from ALS by Jesus Christ." He pulls over to the side of the road.
Yes.
Gets out of the truck, gives me a hug, and says, "Will you pray for me?" "Absolutely, I will."
I bet you get that a lot.
He had like rheumatoid arthritis, and he was healed from it.
Good. Thank you, Lord. I bet you get people to ask you a lot to pray for you. Don't you? Do you pray a lot?
Oh, yes. Pretty much. Well, for one, I freely give out my phone number.
Yeah.
And so I get phone calls all the time. And also, almost any time I walk out from the house, I'm praying for people.
Yep. I love it. What a ministry.
And so one Thanksgiving, I saw about 50 people healed at Walmart. It was that Black Friday. We had my laptop died just all of a sudden. So we went to Walmart. We got there like 15, 20 minutes early. And I'm walking around and turn around. This woman's in a wheelchair. I strike up a conversation with her and tell her about my testimony. And then I just prayed for her real quick. I said, "Just get up, stand up." She stood up. She started dancing around. Her husband, who had been looking for our stuff, come by. Oh, my gosh. And then a prayer line kind of formed up.
Uh-huh.
And people were wanting me to pray for them. And so I started praying for people left and right. A whole bunch, I say 50, 20, you know, could have been more, could have been less. Everything from broken arms, broken hands, cancer, all that stuff. And then I think it was 6 o'clock is time the thing started. And so then everybody ran off and started getting there. But somebody would walk up while me and my wife were shopping and be like, "Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me?" And so that was an amazing day.
Yes. Well, Tony, you've done so many things. I want to ask a real obvious question here that we really need to deal with before we end the show. And that's, what are we to do with what we've heard today? There are many thousand people that will hear this podcast. I'd like to know from you what you would say to them about how then shall I move on? After hearing this, none of us will be the same. Our faith is rocked by this to the better. You know, we all believe in healing. We all believe in miracles. And then we hear a story like this because we know how difficult ALS is and how powerful that disease can be. But it was weak in the hands of the Lord, wasn't it?
Yes.
But for you now, Tony, tell us what to do with this. What shall I do with what I've heard?
I want people to realize this, and that is, I had no scriptural knowledge when I was healed. I wasn't looking to be healed. I would have told you I had no faith to be healed. Yet I was healed. So don't put limits on what God does. He wants us healed. And so take the limits off. Have an air of anticipation that there is going to be a change.
Come on.
Not someday, not 10 years down the road, now, because the Lord meets our expectation. And so if we are in an air of expectation, looking for there to be improvement in whatever it is, looking for comfort to settle in if you're in a whole bunch of pain, most of the time we rationalize away our healing instead of feeding it. Now, with my healing, it was like stepping stones. First my back, then my fingers and my legs, then my mouth, my speech cleared up, and on, all in a couple minutes.
Yes.
So you take one little bit of improvement and you feed that fire, because you are expecting more right now, and the Lord is more than willing to meet you.
Yes.
I had to ask the Lord. Once I started reading the Bible that day that I was healed. We stopped, got me my own Bible for the first time. I tore into it, started reading, started studying it. And the biggest thing I asked the Lord was, how did I get healed? His answer was, you already had the faith because you had my spirit in you. See, we've got the faith.
Yeah.
But we need to have the expectation that there will be a change. The moment we are expecting a change, that change can happen.
Amen. So tell everyone how to get a hold of you. You've got a website I'd like to give out. I know you've got 5 books. Your books are up there on your website. Tell folks about how to meet Tony up close and really get to kind of know you there on your website.
So the website's TonyBelieves.com. Real simple to remember.
TonyBelieves.com. And it really worked pretty good for you, didn't it?
TonyBelieves.com. My YouTube channel is Tony Myers Healing, M-Y-E-R-S. And my podcast is Pushing Boundaries.
And that's here on the Charisma Podcast Network.
Absolutely.
I'm so excited to have you on the show and on the network for sure. So, Tony, just as we go, are you well? Do you find that you're staying well? Do you have strong days? Are you seeing a lot of progress in your health?
Oh, I'm well every day. I've had a few things come up here and there that have been healed. I had a broken foot that was healed.
Yes. Well, quit kicking the door. <That'll help.
laughs> And so, but yes, and one thing I want to leave everyone with is Romans 8:11.
Yes.
That is, here's my paraphrase. Holy Spirit is always giving life to my body.
Amen. Boy, that's good to walk around with that.
That is something, especially if something happens, I'm remembering that. The Holy Spirit's inside of me.
Come on.
He's inside of me. So he is giving me life. Therefore, there has to be a change right this moment.
Amen. Well, Tony, I can't thank you enough for being on the show, for continuing to use your mouth that's been healed, that your breath that's been healed and restored to normal, that you're able to speak with a powerful voice about what Jesus did for you. I'm thankful for that and thankful for you being willing to know the source of your healing and to tell anyone who's within earshot what Jesus did for you.
Amen. Thank you for having me, Dr. Green.
Amen. Oh, we got to do this again. You got stories to tell. I want to hear more about that day in Walmart when you were healing folks, but they didn't know what to do. Did the Walmart manager try to get you out of there, probably?
Actually, I think he got healed as well.
Well, that'll show him. You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my producer, Adley, we're excited up in here. This has been one of my favorite shows ever. Anytime I can hear about a miracle like this on our show and to know that we're dealing with a man of truth that speaks it like it happened, we just get excited. Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You just heard the testimony of a man with no motivation to make a story up, who was at death's bed, who was miserable. He didn't even know what abundant living was. He couldn't come close to define living and wanted to die. And yet Jesus reached out, healed his body, completely whole and wonderful, so that he can walk and talk and digest his food and live an abundant life. Now, saints, I don't know what struggles you have in your life, but I'll tell you, I bet it doesn't get much worse than what my brother Tony went through. Tony Myers has been my guest. He was healed from ALS disease totally and completely. Now goes about to tell his story, his testimony, and to share a ministry that is just powerful. And we'll talk more about that. But just so you know about it, it's called Outside the Four Walls. And Tony knows a lot about living outside his four walls. Brother, thank you again for being on the show. God bless you all.